we thank thee, Lord, for these requests. We ask thee to undertake for them, every one of them. They're special needs. They're not simply talk. And may thy Holy Spirit guide and direct the people with the request of these needs to look to thee for supply, for response, and for their condition. Help them be at peace with thee, trusting the Lord Jesus, our Savior, first of all, thy provision for them. We ask thee for our Dean Bergen Society 2018 message book, which we sent to the printers, over 300 pages. May it be used of thee in a glorious way as we stand, all these speakers, 15 men and 3 ladies in the ladies' meetings for the King James Bible and the underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. May it be a blessing as those people receive it and as they order it, help the printing of it. We also thank thee for the book of 1 Corinthians that we've just completed, over 400 pages to the printers. It's a little bit difficult to get the printing ready to go. We pray for Dr. DeVito, Dr. Williams, as they provide for us. It may be a successful reprint. It may be a blessing to many. Now, as we open up this, we also pray for my wife, Mrs. Waite, with recovery from the hospital journey, her heart, and various other things that are necessary to keep her healthy and strong. We're glad she's able to come to the Bible study tonight and use it to thy glory and take care of each one of us as we open up thy word. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, we're in the book of 2 Corinthians tonight, and we're in chapter 3. And to those listening by the means, give us a call or comment. We're always glad to hear from you. 856-261-9018. Or questions at bftbc.org. Our email, we'd like to hear from you. If you have a question or comment or just want to say hello, glad to hear from you. Well, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 together, verses 1, 2, and 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of communication to you, or letters of communication from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. All right, those listening with us, those who are listening to us on the emails and on the internet, and there are three questions in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. What's that first question mean? Any comments on that? Any hands on that? What's the question? What does it mean? Yes, Tammy.
Apostle Paul is asking, do we begin again to, praise ourselves?
All right.
Commend.
All right. Any recommend. Other? Okay, any other comments in verse number 1?
You mean that first question?
Yeah, first question. Yes, the commendation to ourselves. If somebody commends us, do we ask them to commend us? Should we ask them to commend us? What does commend mean, Pastor Dan? Paul, go ahead, Paul, first.
To give an accomplishment of a good and faithful service.
Accomplishment, good and faithful service, Pastor Dan?
Well, it's a praise or a recommendation of oneself.
All right.
Usually that comes from an outside source, not from oneself.
Should genuine Christians ask others to praise them? Anna?
Sometimes we might ask for a letter of recommendation.
All right.
I guess, or is that not?
For employment or job or something. But in general, should genuine Christians ask others to commend them? Tim?
Well, it'd probably be better if they ask the ones who are to commend them than if they commend themselves.
Uh-huh.
Which is what the Apostle Paul seems to be saying here.
All right.
We're commending ourselves here. Do we begin to commend ourselves? Mm. So.
When somebody commends themselves, what do we call that?
Boasting.
Could be boasting, Pastor Dan.
Pride.
Could be pride. Could be bragging, different things. So, yeah, Pastor Dan.
Arrogance, I suppose.
Arrogance, all right. So Paul didn't want that. He was, I'm sure, a great apostle, a great friend of the Corinthians, but he didn't really want people to praise him. He's not asking for praise. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. All right, that second question. What's that second question, and what does it mean, do you think? Any hands on that? That second question of this first number one, 2 Corinthians 3:1. Tammy?
Well, he's asking if we need to have, so I guess the apostle and those with him, letters of recommendation, commendation, or praise to them, or from them, either way.
Okay. That first part is to them. In other words, should we praise the Corinthian church, the believers there? That's what he's asking, right? Letters of commendation to them. Well, the last part of that is, as you say, letters from them. So, commendation, sometimes it's good to have letters of commendation. Some people want to give them, some people don't want to give them when you change your jobs and so on. But it shouldn't be a boastful thing, shouldn't be a me too and me and look at me, how great I am, and different things. So that's number one, verse number one. Then verse number two, what does Paul call these Corinthian believers there in that church? Yeah, Pastor Dan.
He calls them their epistles written on their own hearts.
Okay, what is an epistle exactly? How would you describe that? Tammy?
It's a letter.
It's a letter. Yeah, our letter. Written where?
In their hearts.
In their hearts?
The Apostle Paul's heart.
Okay, and so they're like a letter, but written to him in his heart because he has great feeling for them. He's written to them as an epistle, but here our epistle, our letter, in our hearts. What is true of that letter in verse number 2? Pastor Dan?
It's known and read of all men.
Known and read of all men. Now, he's written down this 2 Corinthians, and we hope many people read it, and that's part of that commendation. Hear our epistle. These Corinthian Christians.
Where are we?
We're in 2 Corinthians 3. It's verse 1, the last part of verse number.
Verse
2. 2 Corinthians 3, 2. Hear our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Written in our hearts. Paul received that letter from them. Any other comments in verse 2?
Right now I'm getting real nervous because I think I should be taking some medicine and I'm not.
No, you shouldn't be.
Okay, we'll take care of it later after the Bible study.
I know it has nothing to do with the Bible study, but it's bothering me.
Okay, well, after the Bible study, we'll take that up. All right, in verse number 3, now it says, for as much as ye have manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. How do you think that phrase would mean? Ye are the epistle of Christ ministered by us. What do you think that would mean? The epistle of Christ. Again, what is an epistle? Yeah, tell me.
Well, it's a letter. So they're the letter of Christ.
Right.
Ministered by us. So I guess they're an epistle for the world to read. Is that what he said?
It's possible, yes. Mm-hmm. So Anna had something too. Go ahead, Anna.
That's like just saying
about Christians being the only Bible some people will ever read or something to that effect.
Yes. They see our lives. They're just like a letter. They can read us. What we say, what we do, how we feel, how we look, different dispositions that we have. Here our epistle, written, declared, the epistle of Christ, now ministered by us. Written where? Where is this letter written? What's the contrast of different letters? Any hands on that? Where is this letter? Is it Pastor Dan?
On the hearts, not written with ink.
All right. Not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And where is it not written? What materials is it not written on? Yeah, what is it? Yes, Tammy.
It's not written in tables of stone like the Ten Commandments.
Uh-huh. But instead, yeah, Anna?
And it's not written with ink.
All right. I've written with ink. With where?
The Spirit of the living God.
And he's the one that tells communicates.
Verse 3 now.
Verse 3,
Second
yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verse 3.
Right.
Okay,
3. Yeah. Okay, thank you. The tables of the heart. And it's a heart letter to the heart of people. All right, then, any other comments on those first three verses? If not, let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. And such trust have we through Christ, through Godward,
not that we have sufficient of ourselves,
we think we think of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also given to us able ministers in the New Testament of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I have questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a comment or question. Just say hello. Glad to hear from you. Now, such trust. What does trust mean? Any hands on that? What does trust mean? Such, yeah, Tammy?
Something that is entrusted to someone.
Something that's entrusted to someone. And can we have trust in every person?
No.
No, we can't. Can we even have trust in every Christian person?
Mm-hmm.
No. We're talking to Jill today, and she said she's trying to get the cars and motorcycle of her husband to change from his name to her name. And she calls someone and asks, what about this, what about that, and they give an answer, and then they change it, and answer change. So, you know, some people can't have real trust because people keep changing their answers on things. Hey, Pastor Dan is over there.
Hello to everyone. I'm glad to join you in Bible study. Glad Mrs. Wade is able to be with us, too. Julie.
Julie Monahan. Let's wave to Julie in Erie, Pennsylvania. Glad to see her. Glad to have her recently in one of our meetings. You all right? Everything all right? Everything okay, all right. So, such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Now, what does it mean, Godward, to Godward? Trust in Christ to Godward, what does that mean? Any hands on that? Trust in Christ to Godward in verse number 4. Yes, Anna.
Such trust is referring back to this fact that the Corinthian believers are epistles.
All right.
The apostles are trusting, Paul and Timotheus are trusting that the Corinthian believers are the epistles of Christ.
All right. And an epistle should be what? Any hands on that? Should be written and read. I mean, what good is a letter if it's not read, so people can hear about it? And what about the people who are epistles and letters are not good epistles, the good letters, are those read also or not read?
Yeah.
They're certainly read, aren't they? So we got to be careful what kind of a letter we are, so we can have a good reaction of people that read us and look at us and find us and hear us. Epistles of, through Christ to God. Then verse number 5, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Now, what does this mean? What is it? What does Paul deny in verse number 5? And the hands on that. What does he deny or not want to talk about? Yes, Tammy.
Well, he says that he's not, they aren't, they referring to himself and those with him are not sufficient of themselves.
All right. Thinking for ourselves. In other words, some people seem to be sufficient, self-sufficient. But what does he say should be our sufficiency?
God.
Is of God, from God, if we're genuine Christians. What does it mean to be sufficient? How would you define that word? Tammy?
Satisfied?
Filled up? In other words, when you have a meal, and you've had enough to eat, and you've had sufficient food, it means enough. Okay, let me see if I get this out before destroying it. Yes, hello, go right ahead.
Yes, good evening, Pastor Reed. This is Rebecca and David from South Carolina, and just wanted to provide a comment on verse 3 and an application about that we are the epistles and that other people are watching us and we become their Bible. And I don't know if you guys saw in the news recently, was made national news that there was a true believer, seemingly, at University of California, Berkeley, and she was a student senator. She is a student senator, and she basically took a stand for the Lord in regards to pro-homosexual types of things on campus. And anyway, it was just wonderful to see her taking a stand in such oppression. In a very liberal, dark place, and she is those people's Bible. They don't have the Lord, they only have darkness, and what she did and what she's saying, speaking the truth in love, is the Bible to them. Just an application from recently in the news. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Rebecca. Let's wave to Rebecca and Charles and... David Howell there, South Carolina. Appreciate that comment very much.
They visited us.
Absolutely. They visited us. When I told her tonight, I thanked her for visiting us in the state of, North Carolina? Was it North Carolina that she visited? Yes. Appreciate that very much to see the Howells, David Rebecca Howell. Thank you very much, Rebecca. Appreciate that. So then in verse number, let me see, we're in verse number, sufficiency of ourselves. Then in verse number 6, the question is, what is true that has been taken care of, also made us? What does that us refer to? Yeah, tell me.
Well, God, the who is God.
All right.
God made us referring to Paul,
all right,
the other apostles, and perhaps his helpers, able ministers in the New Testament.
All right. Is everybody an able minister of the New Testament? Any hands on that? No. Now, the various Christians, true Christians, anybody have questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-901, give us a call or comment. Should Christians be able ministers of the New Testament? They should be. People be able to read us and say, why? What a difference. I've told you many times, when we were first married, 70 years ago, bride and groom eating at the end of a restaurant from where we were on our way to Dallas, Texas, from Ohio, and... as we sat there eating, some other people came to us And they said, looks like you've just been recently married. I said, how can I tell that? Just because you're joyous, you're happy, just at the countenance. Anyway, some people can see us and they read us. And when we read wrong, then they can see that too, that's for sure. Sometimes our faces can tell, and help us all to be able ministers of the good news, the gospel, the New Testament. So made us ministers of the New Testament. Now, what does it mean? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. What do you think that harks back to you? Anna?
Instead of the law of grace.
All right, so the law of Moses, the grace and the gospels. Now, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. What do you think that would mean? The letter versus the Spirit. Any hands on that?
I was saying the Spirit, we have talking about grace.
All right. In other words, a spiritual law, not the letter like the Old Testament law of Moses and specifics, but the spiritual type of communication. What is true of the letter versus the Spirit? In the same verse, verse number 6.
The letter killeth.
Letter killeth.
And the Spirit giveth life.
Spirit giveth life. So God's Holy Spirit is much more powerful than any written specific letter, whether legal, the law of Moses, or any other letter. Spirit of God. Now the Spirit of God, talked about in the book of Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And how is the fruit of the Spirit manifested and to whom? Who has the Holy Spirit living within them? Any hands on that? Pastor Dan.
Those people that have been saved and justified.
Those people are justified by faith, genuine Christians, has the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Now, does every genuine Christian with the Holy Spirit indwelling them manifest the fruit of the Spirit?
No.
No, they do not. Why do you think that's the case? Any hands on that, Tammy?
So not walking according to the Spirit of life.
All right, not walking according to the Spirit of life and being controlled by the Holy Spirit. As we've mentioned many times, there are three things Dr. Schaefer used to talk to us about at Dallas Seminary. He's my teacher for 4 years until he died. And his book, He That Is Spiritual, what three things does he write about as far as the key to being spiritually discerned and controlled? What three things are those? Get that, Tammy?
Grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dan?
Quench
not the Holy Spirit. Number three?
Walk in the Spirit.
Now, two are negative, one is positive. He said, if these things are all three true, then we could have the manifestation, the fruit, the control by the Spirit of God. What did he say that first negative was? Grieve not the Spirit of God. What is it that he said was grieving the Spirit of God? Anna?
Known
unconfessed sin in the Christian's life would grieve the Holy Spirit so that he would not be controlled by the Spirit. What did he say the definition of that second part was? Tammy?
No, go ahead.
Say no to the Spirit of God.
Say no and not say no to the will of God, say no to some. And he said, did he say now, you wait and see each time when you want to say yes or no to this will? Is that how he defines that, saying no to the will of God? How does Dr. Schaefer define quenching the Spirit by saying no to his will?
It's continual.
Anna?
They're continual.
Continual. Just, Lord, anything you want me to do, I will do it. It's in the scriptures. I follow best that I can. Not just, I'll ask you this question, I'll think of it, I'll say no in this case, but to anything that is revealed to me, I will never say no to thy will. That's what quenches the Holy Spirit so he can't control the Christian. What's that third thing mean? Walk in the Spirit. And has that then?
Let the Spirit of God control you.
All right.
The Word of God dwelling you richly.
All right. Is that a once for all experience?
Moment by moment.
Moment by moment. Step by step. You can't walk all at once and have your walk finished. Mm-hmm. One step leads to another step to another step. Continuous walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That makes the Holy Spirit able to control us and give us the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what are the different types and manifestations of that fruit? What are the fruit of the Spirit? Destiny?
Love.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Gentleness.
Long-suffering. Gentleness.
Meekness.
Meekness.
I think we're out of order.
Oh, let's try again.
Let's just look it up.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness.
Galatians 5:22.
All right, read it for us. Love, joy, peace.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness,
goodness,
faith,
meekness,
temperance.
Against such.
I introduced meekness too soon.
Okay. Against such is no law. Right. And so the Spirit of God to control us and manifest his fruit of the Spirit, which is very important, isn't it? And that's the Holy Spirit gives life. We read 7, did we? Did we read 7?
Not yet.
All right, let's read verses 7, 8, 9, 2 Corinthians 3, 7, 8, and 9. But if the manifestation of death written and engraved in stones was not glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away, how shall not the manifestation of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation was glory, much more the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. All right, so in verse 7, what does it mean, the ministration of death? What part of it, Tammy?
Well, the giving of the law was a minute. It's the law is referring. In the previous verse, the law is refers to death, you know, because it killeth. And so the ministration of death.
All right, the law of Moses.
The giving of the law of Moses.
What stones was this written in? What did you talk about, the stones?
The Ten Commandments, graven.
Ten Commandments. How many times did God write those in stone?
Twice.
Mm-hmm. And there were other commandments, but at least the ten were on that stone situation. Many other commandments. Engraven in stones was glorious. Mm-hmm. What does glorious mean?
Well, it makes me remember the Shekinah glory.
Shekinah glory.
And the brilliance of God, and that no man can look upon.
Mm-hmm. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment or say hello. Glad to hear from you. Oh, so if that was glorious, Jonah could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. What happened to the face of Moses when he was in with the Lord? Anna?
It shone.
It shone. It was bright. What did he do and why did he do it, Tammy?
He put a veil over his face.
Okay.
So they wouldn't see the glory departing as it faded from his face.
Okay.
And also, I used to protect them from the glory as well.
All right. The brightness would just dazzle people, see? And so I put a veil over his face, the glory, glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. Now, what does the last part of verse number 7 say? What does it mean? Anna?
It's talking about which glory was to be done away. In other words, his face didn't stay.
All right.
Showing the glory only was for a brief time after he had been with the Lord.
All right, just a brief time after he had been with the Lord. And so, can the general Christian's face and countenance be a special type and sort of a glorious countenance as well today? What do you think about that? Yeah, it's certainly possible. We don't have to have a face of gloom and doom. We may have problems and troubles, that's for sure. When we do, our faces perhaps change a little from when we're bright and cheery, but the glory, not of ourselves, but of the Lord, the Spirit of God can give us that glory, and not that we're personally fleshly glory, but the glory of the Lord. Was the glory of Moses' face from him or from the Lord? Was Moses' glory from himself?
No, it's from the Lord.
From the Lord himself. And so that glory can be done away. Did we read 8 yet?
Yes.
Yes, yes, okay. Pardon me, it's good, Tammy.
I mean, it can be like that when we have time with the Lord. You know, sometimes there is something that the Lord shows us that it changes our countenance every day. You know, I mean,
right.
We reflect on that, and then it affects us.
Yes, and there's a glorious thing that can be done concerning us. So we read 7.
We read eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now,
Master Barbara.
Okay, let's go to Master Barbara. Yes, Barbara LeMaster from New Jersey. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay,
yes.
I'm glad she's there. I'm just calling in to say hi.
Well, good. Let's wave to Barbara LeMaster right here in New Jersey. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Barbara.
Come and see us when you can.
I'm waving, but you can't see.
Yes, you're waving. No, you can't see us. We're waving anyhow. Okay. Lord bless you. All right. So that was verse number, what was it?
Seven.
Ministration of death, written in graven stones, glorious. And so the Israelites go and look at the most. So he put the veil over his face, which glories we've done over. Then verse 8, what ministration is talked about here? What administration is talked about in verse 8? Pastor Dan?
Of the Spirit.
And how does a Spirit glory be different or compared to the glory of the law of Moses and his glory of the Old Testament? How do the two glories compare? Yes, Pastor Dan?
It's greater glory.
Greater glory. Rather glory. Now, the rather seems to up the ante a little bit. If the Spirit of God is strong with the genuine Christian, walking by means of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that's more glory than anything that could be in Moses. Now, does a person manifesting the fruit of the Spirit have to put a veil on their face? No. But now, should the Christian, the genuine Christian, if he or she is manifesting God's glory by the fruit of the Spirit, should they be boastful about that glory? Should they be boastful about that glory? No, if the glory is there, people can see that or see the opposite of that, that's for sure. I'm going to stop here at verse number 8 and pick that up, Lord willing, next Thursday. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Well, if not, let's close in a word of prayer. We thank the Heavenly Father for Paul's letter to these Christians at Corinth. They've not always been the best, The first letter to Corinth was somewhat castigating, and because they were, some of them were wicked and sinful, and they didn't know what was right to correct it. But he's trying to correct it with a second letter, and writing to them, saying that they're his epistle, and we are epistles, we are letters, read of people that see us, and may our lives show the glory of our Savior, so they may see satisfactory faces and lives and countenances that are testimonies for the Savior who loved us and died for us. Help our thoughts, our ideas, our speech, our looks, our actions glorify our Savior to those that can look to us and see our lives and behold us. Bring us back safely on the Lord's Day as we come, and guide us and direct us to follow thy will. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.